Okay. L'homme est moins sage, j'imagine. Good afternoon, everyone.
Can you close this door, please?
Fine. My colleague, ladies and gentlemen, let's resume now. And thank you very much for understanding. I know that you were here very early. But we also traded, you know, we allow the PG to go elsewhere. It's fine. And thank you very much for coming. Thank you very much for coming to the Standing Committee on Appropriation. This committee, you would know that in the past it used to be called the Joint Budget Committee. Now, you know, we're transforming. We're now the Standing Committee on Appropriation. So you're one of the very first departments to appear before us on the new reconfiguration. So this reconfiguration is not only happening outside Parliament, it's only happening within Parliament. It was established in terms of the money bills amendment Procedure and Related Matters Act, Section 4 of that Act establishes this committee. We have looked at you were lucky, you didn't appear before us for the third quarterly report, but we thought that it is important to invite you for the fourth quarterly report so that we can see the transition from one year to the other. We also know that maybe by the time we received some of the reports in terms of Section 32, maybe the figures at the time were not necessarily a final. I'm not giving you an opportunity to dispute our figures. but we will accept that they will not. But we see some number of underspendings in different programs. We'd like you to speak to those, but if possible, you know, you are here from 10 o'clock. The Department of Transport went on and on. I think they were lucky for over an hour. But we would like to cooperate with you. If you want to leave early, you're welcome. It will depend on your presentation. But there are areas that are very important that we notice some understanding, you know, in your department. The areas that I suspect that you regard as those areas of which impact on service delivery, your inspectors of labor. I'm not sure how you're going to function if you don't have that component. Because of the complaints that we hear out the exploitation that happens and people depend on your, what they call it, on you. And you depend on those labor inspectors in order to understand, to carry out the situation. But generally, the reports indicate that there are largely vacancies, vacant posts in your area, but I hope that you will you will talk to that so that we can understand. But also, you know, I don't know, with most of the departments, luckily, public works is here. They can come and sit here with us if they don't mind. But with most of the departments, there is understanding on CAPEX. We will always emphasize that when the president opened parliament at the State of the Nation address, he really emphasized the creation of work. I mean, understanding the depth of unemployment in our country. It's clear that where the opportunity arises to create employment, departments must exploit that opportunity. But if departments spend less on capital expenditure, then we have a problem with that. So we would really like you as well. I mean, hope that you will address us extensively on this matter. So I would like to give then this opportunity to Mr. Matuna, and you can introduce your team, Mr. Matuna.
Honorable Chair and Honorable Member of Parliament, thank you very much for this opportunity. With me, I've got David Kyle, who is the Executive Manager of Financial Management, who's going to help me to give as much information as possible with regard to the Department of Labor. I'm not sure, Chair, you mentioned trading. I'm not sure whether trading is favorable for me, because some of the questions would have been best answered by our acting DG, more especially with the inspectors, but we will try our best to give the information.
Sorry, just to interrupt. What you need to do, just take your presentation as prepared. We'll pick up on those points ourselves. Don't worry.
I think I will now and then ask my colleague to come in as the historian of the department, because some of these issues come from way back. Thank you. In terms of the branches of the department, we've got administration, service delivery, employment and skills development services, labor policy and labor market programs, and social insurance. I think all in all, they did have one way or the other contributed to the understanding. Administration had an understanding of 2.9%, service delivery 11.5%, ESDS, as we normally refer to in the department, 3.3%, labor policy and labor market programs, 0.5%. Social insurance, 39.4%. The overall underspending for the department as per the final figures is standing at 6%. Chair, probably what we need to highlight that what you noted in the other departments that were not affected by the transfer of functions, the Department of Labor is one of those departments that has been affected. So going forward, some of the programs, or some of the programs here will be transferred to the Department of Higher Education and Training. So probably going forward, the structure will somehow change due to that reason. The economic classification, the compensation of employees, the underspending is 6%, which probably is the most culprit in this particular area. The goods and services, the underspending is 6%. All the other programs there are fine. On the transfers and subsidies?
If you could just go back, just for the sake of our clarity, on slide 1, on slide 2, that is service delivery. Just briefly, what you call, explain to us what is meant by service delivery and just your social insurance. I don't know whether it's the way we understand it, your UIF or what, but just demystify those, what you call it. Programs.
Well, let me, maybe I will ask my colleague to help me on the social insurance. The service delivery is where our 125 labor centers and 10 provincial offices report. That's the branch where they all report.
Thank you, Chair. The service delivery branch is basically, we're a national department with provincial competencies, and we have regional offices in each one of the provinces, with two offices in Gauteng being split into Gauteng North and Gauteng South. That's why we have 10 provincial offices, and then they manage the different regions, and each region has their labor centers in various towns. There's 125 of them throughout the country, and they report back in to the service delivery DDG at the head office of the department. In service delivery, Chair, is our inspectorate, as you mentioned earlier. All of the labor inspectors, there's none of them at the head office. They are in the provincial offices and at the labor center, and also our employment services practitioners who provide an employment service to the public. They are also in the labor centers and in the provincial offices. So it's basically the offices which have direct contact with the public at large. On social insurance, the social insurance, that branch houses the unemployment insurance fund as well as the compensation fund. The unemployment insurance fund carries a nominal budget of 1,000 rand per annum. The reason why it's there is that if the unemployment insurance fund should run into financial difficulty and needs to be financed through the fiscus, then that is where we would manage the request going through for the financing or the assistance to the unemployment insurance fund from the fiscus. On the compensation fund, which is the other leg within social insurance for the Department of Labor, we as a department carry an allocation in respect of injuries on duty to public servants in national departments. Those claims are processed through the compensation fund, but the administrative costs regarding those claims is claimed back from the Department of Labor, and we defray that expense under that main division.
And that is on your
Chair, the budget for the year under review was 10 million. It's currently 8 million in the current year.
Still on the economic classification, transfers and subsidies, departmental agencies and accounts, we've got a variance of 1.1, and the non-profit institutions, a variance of 0.1%. Under the payment of capital assets, buildings and other structures, a variance of 87.7%, and the machinery and equipment, the variance of 28.6%. Going straight to the
just help us, Mr. Matunani.
Yes.
We're not working for the department.
Yes.
So, for instance, what you read there, we can see ourselves. But what we, the reason why we invited you is we want you to explain some of these, your classification that the capital or is capital assets. Well, okay, there is capital assets, not the expense. No, it's fine. Okay, carry on. In fact, I think that it's important because there is a variance. It's important to explain it, unless you will explain it elsewhere. Mm.
The way we have structured our presentation is that under each program, we've got explaining a slide explaining the variance. I think going straight to the administration, which is program one. The compensation of employees there, the 3.8%, goods and services, the variance of 2.9. The explanation for the variance, probably I will ask my colleague to help me here, because I think it's consistent throughout. It will be the compensation of employees, goods and services, where probably we've got our variances throughout.
Chair, if I may, on the compensation of employees, the Department of Labor has unfortunately had a history with compensation of employees. We have gone through a process whereby the department went through a restructuring of the establishment within the department in order to provide more impetus in terms of our service delivery branch, and to try and get more people actually serving the public. There was the talk of the lean head office, where your head office structure should be smaller and your people who are your service delivery units should carry the bulk of your personnel. In that process, we've unfortunately gone through some incidences which didn't carry through. So we wound up with a situation where we were underspending in terms of our compensation of employees. And I don't know if it was as a punitive measure, we actually suffered reductions in our allocations on compensation of employees, which then put us into a position whereby we then had an establishment which the department could not afford within its allocations, which were then given across the medium term. So in order to address that, we had to go into a different exercise whereby we had to try and find out which are the most priority posts which need to be filled. Obviously, trying to keep a balance between the number of people that you put on the ground for service delivery and the number of people that you have in your administrative wing in order to ensure that you have sufficient controls in place for good corporate governance. The process took a lot longer than what the department thought it would take, and this has impacted on our expenditure, and you'll notice this across all of the main divisions of the vote within the department. It took a lot longer than what we anticipated, but as of the beginning of this financial year, we put a measure in place which is almost very similar to what happened with the Department of Transport. Where we have taken the managers and said to them, look, you have an allocation in terms of compensation of employees and you need to fill vacancies within the limit of that allocation. They need to do the prioritization and they need to indicate as to how they are going to fill these. And that process commenced in May of 2009, and we had a substantial number of advertisements for vacancies which took place in July and are also taking place in the current month in order to address the situation of the vacancy level within the department. In terms of the goods and services on administration, Chair, we had a very unique situation in terms of this. The under-expenditure on our goods and services relates pretty much to our repair and maintenance program, which we needed to get underway on our Laboria House building in Pretoria, which is actually our head office building. And here we've been in negotiation with our colleagues at the Department of Public Works, because the current contract that we have, and it's a tricky situation because the tender... we're not pointing fingers at them. We're working with them. But it's a tricky situation because the tenders for the repair and maintenance programs are actually managed through the Department of Public Works. However, the buildings are occupied by the Department of Labor. And we wound up in a situation whereby in the building which we occupy currently, we had, in our building, we had lifts which are manufactured by a company called Koni. And yet the maintenance on the lifts was issued to a company called Schindler. Now, there is intellectual property these days on lifts because they run on software more than they run on mechanics. And Schindler does not have the software for Koni lifts. So we've had to get into a negotiation process regarding some of those issues, and that is what has delayed. The intention was that this repair and maintenance program would have kicked in last year.
Anyway.
No, there's a temporary cover. We're in between two repair and maintenance programs, Chair. We had a company which was doing it, and that contract came to an end, and then we are now currently in the process, and as far as I know, that tender has already been issued and is coming into place pretty soon. Well, I'm hoping that Schindler is in there, yes, if people have done their homework.
Probably what will highlight on the next slide is the business, which is also responsible for the sector. And I think in your opening remarks, you also mentioned one of your main points is the sector, and also the sector value.
Got some long history there, also which I'll also like my colleague to share in terms of the professionalization of inspectors and the amount that we've got from the Treasury for this purpose, which we did not really spend in time.
Thank you, Chair. In terms of the professionalization of the inspectorate, we did put a bid in regarding this process during the 2007 MTEF period. At that time, it could not be funded. The funding was allocated to us from the 2009-2010 financial year. And we have implemented that decision in terms of the professionalization of the inspectorate as from the 1st of June of 2009. It entailed, in certain cases, the upgrading of the inspectorate which we currently have, which was on a very low salary level and actually resulted in us not being able to keep the competency within the department. But on a different level, it talks to actually getting professionals in place, especially in the area of occupational health and safety, where the department has a dire need to employ the services of engineers in various capacities in order to address issues that we pick up at workplaces, especially pertaining to the use of plants and machinery. And that process is also currently underway.
Then the probably on the service delivery the next.
Chair, thank you. The transfer which we have there to non-profit organisations, the Department of Labour, in a bid to increase the representativity of gender and disabled persons in the workforce in South Africa, we pay a wage subsidy to the national councils, the National Council for the Blind, the National Council for the Deaf, and the National Council for the Physically Disabled, which enables them to employ staff which actually try and promote the representativity of such persons within the workforce in South Africa. Now, the fact that this is a wage subsidy has the effect that should that post be vacant, it works on a claims basis. The national bodies submit a claim to the Department of Labor, and we then pay the wage subsidy. But should the post be vacant, then obviously we cannot pay a wage subsidy on a vacant post. It's not a large amount of money.
No, but can you go to the household?
Households, okay, Chair. There's an economic classification which came about through the introduction of SCOA, the Standard Chart of Accounts. Households is where if an employee leaves the service of the department, and you must then pay amounts in respect of leave credits, because there was a change in the policy regarding leave. If a person resigns, you must pay out the current leave credits, then it's not considered as being compensation of employees. Because the person is no longer in your employ, you are actually making a payment to a household. That's why it resorts under the classification of households. But also included there is amounts which is required to be paid in terms of the voluntary severance package dispensation which is currently running. If a person applies for and their participation in that scheme is approved, then because they are leaving the service, the expenditure which is incurred in that respect is considered as an expense to households. Chair, you'll notice under the payment of capital assets there, we had a underspend in terms of our buildings and other fixed structures. The reason for that underspend is that we are experiencing delays in a couple of labor centers, which the department is in the process of acquiring and in certain cases actually having built. There's three of them in particular, the one being in Rustenburg, the other one being in Mount Elif, and the third one being in Bochum. The situation that we were faced with in Rustenburg is that the site which was selected for that labor center is actually a heritage site, and the reason for the delay is that it's a prolonged process that we had to enter into regarding actually building and making amendments to existing structures which are on that site because it is declared a heritage site. The one in Mount Elif, I believe there was the constraint that we encountered there was actually on a site clearance. And in Bochum, I believe it was a situation relating to the current owner of the land who changed his mind in terms of the procurement. It was a site clearance. When you want to build on the actual site, you've actually got to get the clearances in order to commence with the actual building. And it's taken a long time to actually get the site clearance.
So the next one will be the Employment and Skills Development Services, which I noted that it's going to be the one that's going to be mostly affected by the transfer of functions to the Department of Higher Education and Training. Here we've got the compensation of employees as well. the variance of 3.8, goods and services, the variance of 5.2, and the buildings and other fixtures under payment of capital assets of 35.7%, machinery and equipment, the variance of 46.9. Here the task team is underway to work out the modalities on the transfer of some of the functions in this branch to the department to the Department of Higher Education and Training. But in terms of the variance on
quarter between December and March means that you have been sitting with those the challenges that time. And clearly, not only that area, but even those who are going to inherit it means that they're going to inherit a problem because you have not filled the vacancies. It's the same as with the inspectors, but okay, continue. We'll go to it. But just try to make it faster. Just maybe speak to those areas where you're giving explanations. If there's any special explanation that we request from you, we'll tell you.
Thanks, sir. Probably what we want to highlight here is the payment of capital assets, the indela.
Chief, if I may, the situation that we encountered at indela is a unit of the department which is situated in Olifantsfontein, just outside Midrand in Gauteng. The problems we had there was that the area is a dolomite area and prone to sinkholes. And the project that we had in line there was to put up a perimeter fence and also to improve the security at that actual venue. And we experienced delays in terms of commencing that project because of the fact of that it was dolomite prone. And the question was whether it was actually sensible to build on that piece of ground, or whether it wouldn't be more wise to actually move that institute from where it is currently situated to somewhere else.
Then the next program is the labor policy and the labor market programs, wherein we've got a variance under goods and services of 7.3%, and machinery and equipment, variance of 16.4%. Well, in terms of the explanation for the variance, it's just a normal request for the furniture and equipment, which was budgeted for, and they later decided that the ones that they had was fit for the purpose, so they didn't go ahead with the replacement. The last program that we have is the social insurance, wherein we've got a variance of 39.4%. I think we have earlier on discussed what social insurance is. And, Chair, that brings us to the end of our presentation.
Thank you, Chairperson. We're still on this Indlela project. I just want to understand whether your plan, when you decided to on this project, didn't you do some environment impact assessment or what do you call it? Because it seems you realized after you had money in your pocket. I don't know what came first, but you put it as a problem here. Now I ask whether you are not aware of this problem. if we didn't have money, then it's okay. But you brought it here because we didn't spend it. And we had to do some feasibility study, I think, before you had to ask for such big funds. And your problem with vacancies, will you tell us whether you have any retention strategy? Because your vacancy rate is actually increasing. And the inspectors you referred to, I think the fact that you wanted to improve, you want engineers, is that you looked into it. It's a sort of a remedy. And if that's not the case, you can't stay without inspectors, because people need to be sure that they work in a safe environment, or any other issues that environment job related need to be inspected. And you can't just have such a high percentage of vacancies in such a critical issue, and it will, because it will even bring you into conflict and high court orders. If anything happens, the labor unions and all will be on you. I don't know whether they are aware that, or maybe your department is immune of labor unions. I don't know. And your capital under expenditure in CAPEX, you refer to public works, but they are already here. We wonder whether you don't have any SLA, because if you have some service agreements, then we need to see something happening. And your transfers, you can't be transferring to the departments that don't spend. You took money from current payments to transfer it to capital payments when you actually don't spend. You have problems in spending in your capital issues, but there's an amount. The information you have is that you transfer money from current payments to capital payments, and an amount of 1 million rand. And your social insurance, do you educate people? Because that is people rely on that program. When a person loses a job, when a person gets injured, he knows he has to go to that department. And you don't, people don't claim. There's a very low claim tendency in your social service program. Do you make people aware? Because definitely people are not aware. When they're injured, their companies won't tell them, I think. But I think, what do you do to inform them about this? Because there's money here, and it cannot be spent, because there's no one who knows that he needs to claim and can't claim. Chairperson, I don't know whether I'll come across anything more than what I've already asked, because I refer to the capital budget and the shifting of funds. I don't know whether.
I just want to emphasize on the points that are raised by my colleagues. You know, all your capital assets or your CAPEX is underperforming, you know, big time. I'm not sure why. I mean, you give the reasons. You know the reasons that you're giving. I agree with them. Clearly, to us, the question of planning. You don't plan. You know, during the apartheid time, budget day was a big day, simply because only the minister who knew where the funds were going. Today is not the same like that. Today, you already know today roughly how much for CAPEX will be getting next year. And in terms of the division of revenue, you're supposed by August to have really put your plans in place, make them known to National Treasury, to do a proper plan by August for the following, what you call a financial year. I'm not sure if you're doing this, but clearly you wait until the beginning of the financial year, then it's only then, because now, I mean, the way you, in all what you refer to as capital assets, there's under expenditure. I think it's a big, big problem. It's not big amounts of money that are involved, but it's a problem. So it means that this question of the vacancy rate does not only apply in those, in what you refer to as service delivery. Clearly, across the department, you have a serious, what you call a vacancy problem that you may not be what you call in show it clearly, but the way things stand, you have a challenge. You have a chance. I see the reasons that you're giving for delays in Rosenberg, Mount Elif, Bochum. That is clear to all of them. There's no plan. I mean, you don't plan. You know, it's as if people, they sit and wake up and say, look, we've been given this amount for capital expenditure. Where do we use this money, by the way? We cannot work like that. And I can tell you now, with the new piece of legislation that is there, we're going to watch it very clearly. I mean, very closely. We're watching you very closely. If you don't spend, there's no reason to continue to allocate funds, the resources where people don't spend. Allocate funds to people who would utilize those articles. I mean, I'm listening to the example of the lift that was given. One company, the lift is built by another company, but you give the responsibility to someone else. When you tell us that you knew when giving and allocating that tender that those people might not be what you call have the necessary expertise because the lift belongs to other people. But why do you do that? Why do you continue doing that? You're not saying that you are addressing it, but you. Is this at least the most, what they call, a responsible way, perhaps, of using public funds? I mean, I would really I want you to respond to that question. So, your service delivery, clearly, it's like your core, what you call, a responsibility. But I'm not sure. You're talking about the history. These things have history. I mean, people, they burn in factories and whatnot. And clearly, the reason, now I can understand now, today I do understand the reason why people find themselves in those kind of illegal situations. Those people who own those small factories and lock people up, it's because they don't have inspectors. So people will continue doing what they do. I mean, if you go to the farms, you can see the conditions, but nobody is inspected because the department does not have the water. It's clear that the teacher that the teacher is not here, the acting teacher is not here. But clearly there are challenges. I mean, you're having one of the smallest, if not the smallest budget. But you're not giving a reason for increase of that budget. Instead, I think that Parliament will have to cut it because you don't make use of those funds and give to those people that will be having the funds. you have been up to now been responsible for this skills development at the town service. We know over the years, I mean, the setup, they're a disaster. But you have vacancies. Clearly, you cannot, what you call, monitor them. I mean, with the kind of vacancies that you have, even in that area, let alone the new, what you call, dispensation of the Department of now of Higher Education. But clearly, up to now, there has not been serious attention to those. Yet, we cry out for skills that do not exist in the country. We import things like plumbers, you know, what you call, the simplest things that we could, what you call, produce in the country that have to be, what you call. Why? The Department of Labor not paying much attention to what you call. You know, I really have a good mind that you must come back, you know. I mean, one people who's going to respond to these questions. I don't think that you really, what you call, suitable to respond to these questions. When is the next statement? Who will find the next date for you? Because we would really, would really need someone. Because going forward, how do we make sure, how do we ensure that you take the responsibilities of this department seriously? We don't want to find you next time we invite you, we'll find that you are in the same situation. It doesn't help you, it doesn't help us, it does not help the country. So, we will inform you about the date. I think that you can also call secretary will assist us with the date when the acting DG will be present. If he is present, is able to come this afternoon to respond to those questions, the better, because he is here in Parliament. He was here this morning. I'm not sure then when it's going to be done with that, but you can check with him, failing which, we give you another date. I can please consult with him. Thank you.
Thanks,
sir.
Oh, okay.
Check one, two.
correct. Behind every successful man, there's a woman.
No, it's fine. Welcome. Topic quest. You have just heard the Department of Labor. I don't know how. Whether you are exonerated from their problems. But as far as this is concerned, I think that you don't have a big understanding. We have about 2.something%. About 2.6%. Yeah, it's not really much, but I think that maybe it's about your program, where we hear that we have an underspending of about 151 million at the time we.
112%.
Okay, you will respond at the right time. But we see the 151 million that is attributed to some capital projects that were not finalized by the end of March. But I'm not sure how it works. But I know that from the side of provinces, other than your budget, you receive some work from the departments, your client department. I'm not sure here in this case how it works, but it's not. So you're disputing that it's 152 million, 151 million. Oh, it's under key place. There's another one. Okay. Now I'm informed that. It might be more than that. but this figure somehow currently as a lawyer, and now I put my hand for it. We made it to call the documents, I don't know. You know, you were here. I'm not sure if one of you was here when the who was presenting, it was Home Affairs. There was a number of overspending, you know. I'm not sure if you were here that time. But there was a number of spending in some areas where they told us, no, they encouraged. I'm using my own word. But they say to people, they didn't use the word encourage, but it was to the effect that people are encouraged to go on with spending. Money that they don't have, but they corrected it by saying no, it's within the overall budget of the department. Now let's see then.
President, can we proceed?
Sure.
Yes. For purpose of the record and introductions, my name is Nchope Malibia.
I'm accompanied by Percy Mulefe, who is the DDG responsible for corporate services on my right hand side, and Kathy Mutsitsi, who is the chief financial officer, and General, who is the parliamentary liaison officer in the office of the Minister of Public Works. Once more, I still bring the greetings from the office of the Minister as well as the Deputy Minister again, subsequent to our last week meeting. May Chairperson take the opportunity to say it's costly to fly an official from Pretoria to Cape Town and not do or say anything. Last week I said much, and I did not give Katie the opportunity to say one or two things. Today is her turn to do a lot so that I can actually sum up in terms of her presentations and with specific focus to the question raised. But we'll cover a number of issues pertaining to our budget allocation expenditure as it has been displayed on the screen. Chairperson, the Honourable Member, the question raised by the Department of Labour, we have a relationship with the Department of Labour. Will require that relationship to improve in terms of response time and in terms of planning. The reality of the situation is that issues raised in terms of site clearance, dolomite issues, and the question that was raised by the Honourable Member was correct, because we do have a dolomite program that we run to determine upfront that this place can actually be developed in terms of improvements or not. Unfortunately, the question of the lift and as well as the question of the site clearance and the dolomite, including the heritage site, we came here not prepared to can actually provide answers as to whether they are correct or not correct. But you are able to determine upfront whether that is heritage or is dolomite. So I wouldn't like to defend or say another thing, but we have facts to say those are things that you check first before you can even start to put a single brick or bring a single pocket of cement. The other principle I'd like to raise, Chairperson, is that at the end of the financial year, which is the fourth quarter expenditure reporting, we have had a situation whereby, as a matter of principle, not all capital or maintenance projects tally with the financial year end of every department. So you always have a situation whereby you have a project that is meant for 18 months that started on the 1st of April the previous year will go beyond the 31st of March. And then expenditure level will actually increase from 31st of March up until to the completion date. So you'll always, in terms of capital projects, have some remainder at the end of the financial year because they're not necessarily mutually inclusive, to put it that way. Chairperson, the question of 10 departments... Yes, I was just making the point. Okay, Chairperson, with due respect, in terms of Section 36, what I'm telling you is the correct information, but CFO still confirmed that. Let me give you the opportunity to proceed so that we can do some confirmation in terms of the relationship between capital projects in terms of budgeting as well as the financial budgeting of the department. Thank you. CFO?
Thanks, Chair. As stated in the letter that we received from the Spending Committee on Appropriation, that our unspent funds are sitting at 112 million. Yes, it is true. The 151 that you mentioned is true, but you'll realize that the net unspent fund is 112 because of the over expenditure under compensation. You'll see, I'll show that difference when as I present. Let me first start by showing the comparatives of 208.09 to 207.08 so that we can begin to perhaps appreciate the improvement in terms of expenditure on a year-on-year comparison. The budget allocation for 208.09 was 4.3 billion. With actual expenditure at 4.18 billion. Our spending is 97.4% overall, with the unspent funds of 112 million. Basically, our unspent funds on a year-to-year comparison, in the previous financial year, we had 9.5 and a considerable improvement to a 2.6% for the year ending 31st March 2009. The next slide basically is to show you the spending per economic classification. Let me also hasten to say we did not include the spending per program because most of the programs have spent their budget. Our challenge is under capital infrastructure. As you can see that compensation of employees, we have exceeded the budget by 6%, which is something that is not, it's called unauthorized, and we'll explain some of the reasons why we went above our budget. Goods and services, 99% spent. Transfers and subsidies, this includes the conditional grants, we spent 100%. Machinery and equipment, it relates to the machines, the IT, the furniture, the assets, movable assets that we buy for the department, 100%. Capital infrastructure budget of 1.1 billion, that's where we only spent 988, showing that variance of 151 that we are referring to, which has subsequently been reduced to 112 because of the overspending under compensation. Our CAPEX, yes, I'll come to CAPEX. 151, yes. The way DPW operates, we have what we call a property management entity, which was conceived after the devolution of the budget. Now, most of our, in fact, our projects are executed under the PMTE, which is the property management entity. We keep two sets of books. The property management entity derives its revenue from the accommodation that we charge to clients and the municipal fees, the management fee that we charge, and the leasing rental stock. Now, the PMTE recognizes all the work that we do for the client departments as clients, including DPW being a client of the property management entity because our projects are also executed there. That 1.1 billion is executed under the PMTE. Now, what happened at the year end is that work was done by PMTE, commitments done, but then the timing difference between DPW paying over the PMTE, that's what caused this variance. And we have already asked, requested National Treasury to give us a rollover because this is not underspending. It is just a timing difference in terms of payment. And therefore, we are awaiting National Treasury to approve, hopefully by next month, so that we can then pay over these amounts to the PMTE. It's not underspending. We are just waiting for the rollovers to be approved so that we can pay the PMTE. Execution has taken place. Okay. Chairperson, it's not underspending. We have already spent that money. It's just a timing difference in terms of paying. The money is spent under the property management entity using the revenue that we generate. Now, property management entity would naturally so bill DPW because even though PMTE is under the DPW, the work that has to be done with the budget, we are more like a client to our property management entity. It is that timing difference between when property management entity billed the DPW and DPW paid PMTE. Therefore, as at the 31st of March, those invoices amounting to 151 were not yet paid, and we've requested rollover so that we can pay the PMTE. The work has been done. The funds are committed. It's not underspending.
Okay.
The presentation is done, Chairperson, because it was more to explain the underspending, to say it's not underspending, and perhaps just to say we have overspent under compensation, which is something that is not right in terms of proper accounting, but we can account to say the over expenditure under compensation of employees is due to some of the contributions to the national skills development and job creation that we engaged in as a department, the interns, the learnerships. We also brought in students who are here to assist with the technical support, the increasing capacity for EPWP, and the creation of strategic units like M&E within the department. Those are the only reasons why we spend, we overspend under compensation. But certainly infrastructure we haven't underspent.
And I didn't want to do that, but I just wanted to say maybe now you'll agree with me in terms of the initial explanation that I did in terms of the capital project, the payment time, and the whole thing. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Your explanation of this delay is not satisfactory because you can't tell me that NTT waited for the very last day of the month. When did you start engaging this entity? And how did it happen that it just happens at the end of the financial year? Yeah, because it's, I think you just, you are, if we can ask for your spending from your first term, we'll realize that towards the end of financial year, you needed to do something, even if it had to flow and become timing difference, but something within you, the department and your PME, your planning and all was just didn't just stop work because it couldn't just wait until the end of financial year that all your receipts should be, the billing should happen at that time. It could have happened during any time of the first quarter or the previous quarter or any other quarter. And the Cuban issue, what projects do you specifically need? You referred to the Cuban people. You said they were here to assist with, or in this new, the PE phase two of the EPWP, or?
Can I clarify something in terms of the Cuban program? The Cuban program is about the technical support that you have in the field of engineering from the QN government, that you have a bilateral agreement between QN and South Africa. It's happening in the Department of Health, fortunately the DG of Health is there, housing, as well as in engineering fraternity in the whole country. So when they actually arrive from the side of public works, we allocate them according to specific projects, whereby they have young South Africans who are being exposed to specific skills acquisition in the execution of capital projects. I think Honourable Member will agree with me, you have a great history and understanding of the field of engineering in the Republic and what are we trying to achieve in terms of the QN Technical Support Program, one, as well as what we're trying to achieve in terms of artisans, internships, and learnerships, so that we ensure that the skill searches that we have in the country in terms of the engineering and medicine, as well as in the engineering and housing, needs to be addressed. There's a program to fast track and address this particular kind of shortages. We have an agreement with the QN government for a period of 3 years. So a structured program which is happening countrywide in terms of projects that we do. Thank you.
That's fine. Before you respond to the
other questions, I'm just going through the public finance management. I'm also not very clear. I mean, even what DG was saying in terms of
went to about the budget. My understanding is it's a bit different from your article. We do know that some projects may overlap into what is called. But our understanding is that there will be a particular budget for a particular financial year. But with respect to the issue that is at hand, that is being raised by my colleague, Mema Shukhuye, is that of when the year ends, come 31st of March, it's not my understanding that the Auditor General will be standing at your door on the 1st of April looking for books. But you have some time. How many? 2 months, ne? Yeah. By which you have to clear your everything. So that now by the time you come to us, we're dealing with the last report, and I hope that the figures that you have you presenting to us are almost final figures for the financial year. And therefore, we don't understand that the work was done. There was no actually thing, so there was no under expenditure. The work was done. All that was left was invoices. Maybe we really don't understand what you're trying to say, because you have 2 months after the financial year. Now, I would understand that within those 2 months, whoever is being owed or you're owing or whatever, vice versa, you clear everything so that the report that would go to the Auditor General would be able to reflect that we might not have received all the what you call invoices by the 31st of what you call, but the work money was committed. But you, I'm not very what you call it clear of what you're saying as well, you know. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Perhaps what should have happened was also to show the first quarter of the new financial year so that we can compare. But at the 31st of March, when we close year end, whatever we could not pay, we can't pay it in April because it's a new financial year. But then in our financial statements, we will show, the PMTE is going to show a debtor, a receivable, because we owe them. DPW is going to show an accrual because we have services that have been delivered, but we haven't paid. So this amount will be there under our accruals, and PMTE will show the receivable. But we won't be able to change this picture because it falls in the face of the financial statements. We can't pay into the previous financial year, but we show it in the full annual financial statements. What again would give you comfort to say this thing has been resolved is when perhaps we report on the second quarter of the new financial year and the first and the second quarter, where you'll be able to see that these payments have been made. I've already mentioned that we are awaiting National Treasury to approve rollover. Now, as soon as we get our approval next month, then we'll be paying these invoices and this matter will be resolved. That is why we roll over these funds. They are there. They're just waiting for payment to be done. They are committed. Otherwise, the National Treasury won't approve rollovers if they're not committed.
I think that's exactly what the concerns are, because that money was not approved by Parliament to be rolled over. You applied for it, with your apologies to the DG, who said that's why his introduction was so good, that he said some money has to fall into another department. He actually knew what he was going to say about it. But DG, we think you applied for this money and we pass the budget as public representatives, representing those people who are looking at the service, knowing very well that by the end of that term, we'll have used that money. And then that doesn't go well with us because we deliberately realize that the National Treasury will give us, will apply for all over when we get it from the National Treasury, whereas we couldn't use that money and we could have left it to be used for this year. And again, whilst we are still on this Cuban issue, I'm going back to it. How much was specifically spent on this Cuban people? Because we know that we need expertise from outside. And we already know that it was discussed in our previous parliament about the retired engineers, retired what, who are already there, and who could actually, we want them to come and help us. We have very good relationship with Cubans, but put in the picture the number of skills that we have that could actually also help in whatever projects we have, and we reduce the number of the people we think we are lacking, whereas we somehow have them here, and we could use that money for other services that are needed locally or for bursaries, because we have our universities, we have our retired people, we have many people who could also help along those lines. We really love Cuba and we want to see them helping us, but it's just to be realistic and use our budget as effective as we can where service delivery is concerned, especially that your department, we rely very much on you with this EP, Expanded Public Works Program. That's what we wanted to clarify. And you didn't refer to your other understanding, like the Rehabilitation Fund. It has been on. How far is it? And other projects that are lagging behind, so that we must be on par. We must know all the facts about your understanding. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Chairperson, Honourable Member, I agree with you that we can provide you with a written comprehensive report pertaining to the Cuban technical support program in the Republic, so that we have a clear picture to say where we come from, where are we, and where are we going, and what are the numbers involved, both in terms of financials and the benefits thereof. We can make that available. The question of the, we do have a bursary scheme in order to ensure that we also support other programs of skills development in the engineering field and other related management fields. That is correct. The question of Recovery Satswana program, in terms of overspend or underspending, we can make information available to you also the same way the QN program, to say how much was budgeted for Recovery Satswana, what did we spend it on, and then how are we going to be going to the future, because there are so many projects that we're dealing with under Recovery Satswana in terms of land departments, and we require obviously some humbleness on your part to get space so that we can provide a comprehensive report in terms of that.
I think that was the question from the honourable member, to say the monies must be spent in the year that they are appropriated. With projects like this, you'll always have that timing difference where services that were rendered around February, March, it's not that these monies were spending for more than 3 months. It's all the invoices that were generated towards the second week or the third week of March. It wouldn't necessarily be invoices that have been outstanding for more than 30 days. And that is why, in terms of the preparation of those invoices and until they are submitted to the department, you'll have that timing difference.
Thank you very much, Public Works. I see the CFO
sick and has tickets, but we didn't hear the other voice. okay, no, it's fine. Thank you very much. We're looking forward to meeting you in a month's time. Yeah, yeah. I was just consulting here, yeah, that by the way, there's a report that you owe us.
On EPWP, yes.
On EPWP, yeah. With my friend Mr. Anderson. No, all the best.
Okay.
Travel safely.
Yeah.
Ha, 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 ha. not the member. It's not a reflection. I think it's a reflection on my character.
I'm Thank you. to agents, it's a big difficulty. but luckily that's to indicate that basically another clearance that we need, I'm not sure if the indication here is perhaps the fund that we have. I think it is mainly for the
thank you very much. Let me start by introducing the team of the committee and our
CFO.
Well, that's partly because the new leadership has been decided to be on the left. We're still waiting on the last day decided. I joined the right with our parliamentary officers. They will kind of serve as me. Separately, we took your invitation very seriously, especially when it comes to the reference to details. So we try to provide a bit of details as well. Then, guided by itself, we can zoom in on the key issues of the process, or we can go through the whole presentation and start give context to the issues as well. So, I will roughly decide tomorrow, and I'm just prepared to tell how much time we have to do the fact that it's been 15 minutes of time.
Nice to see you. I think that we also, we arrived here at the time, like as well to hold you very much. But I think that it would be useful if we have room to the issues. We're going to meet there, so we'll be dealing with the entity as well. So we'll still be looking for it. We'll be there if we have room to the
thank you very much. I'll just deliver the first slide and then the CFO will by way of introduction, just to give an overview of what we are talking about. For the financial year 2008-2009, that's the amount that was appropriated, and of that amount, 91% of it. Total vote, as you can see, is actually conditional cash. So clearly, we've been talking about
I was saying, Chair, that of the 15.8 billion that is appropriated as vote 14, 14.3 billion or so is actually conditional grants, which means transfer payments, and that constitutes 91% of the total allocation for our vote 14. And the actual total expenditure of that 15.8 billion amounted to 15.4 billion, which is almost about 97.6% expenditure of the appropriated amounts. And therefore, the under expenditure constitutes, depending on which mathematics school you went to or accounting school, 2.4% or 2.5%. I see in the latter here it's at 2.5%. So would have to actually see which school you went to in terms of accounting. the conditional grant, but of that under expenditure, which is 386 million, the conditional grants under expenditure makes up 93% of the total under expenditure, which means, therefore, Chairperson, you're right, the real issue here is under expenditure largely on the transfers and very little so on the actual national departments under expenditure. That is actually what we will try and explain, and I'll ask the CFO then to zoom in on the issues that you suggested.
Thank you. Thank you, DG. Thank you, Chair, and the members. And to respond to the question, do we just transfer and step backwards? The answer in simple terms is no. And that can be easily demonstrated, if I can do that, by going straight to, maybe let me do this first and say, in program one, I'll just rush through these. This is the Department of Health, excluding the conditional grant. So it's 1.2 billion and we spent 96% of that. And the next slide explains the variance. And that is just a graphic demonstration of that. In program one, the under expenditure is mainly related to the Civitas building upgrading. That is why we wanted to, we were happy to see the DG for Public Works here, because we had an issue with him about it. And we are hoping that Treasury will roll over the funds as requested so that we can move to Civitas. Until that happens, we can't move. And all the other problems that Public Works is holding us up with. In Program 2, Chairperson, there are a lot of transfer payments. Part of the under expenditure in that program is related to the conditional grants on forensic pathology services, which, as the Chairperson is aware, is implemented at provincial level. And I will go into the specifics with that later. Part of the under expenditure under Program 2 is also for the transfer of funds to the NGOs, and we have specified which ones were affected. There were three affected. First one is Love Life. There was 21 million which was earmarked to be transferred during the last quarter of the financial year 08-09. We did not do that solely because of the compliance issues that they were supposed to have submitted to us the third quarter report. We review, once we are happy, then only we transfer. So by the end of the financial year, that was not done yet. Hence, no transfer was done. Similarly, okay, no, with SAVI, it's a different story. We were supposed to have transferred 2 million to them. We did not do that because that 2 million was actually earmarked for the payment of debt from their side. Yes. And we only received that money during the adjustment budget. And why we did not transfer it after the adjustment budget is that their contract expired as expected at the end of January. So we're still working with those so that by the time we transfer, there's a valid contract. That's the only reason why we did not transfer. Because in the system, when you want to pay SAVI, it says contract expired. So we were still dealing with those. And then the last NGO that transferred. Yes, Chair, we owed them, but we did not have the money. That's true. The money only came late in the financial year. Chair is aware that the adjustment budgets arrive around November, December. So, unfortunately, at that time, that was the period when the contract was also expiring, end of December. Okay, the last NGO, transfer was supposed to be 2 million for the NICDEM. I will remember. National Institute for Community and Management, but it's solely related for the HIV and AIDS NGO. So it was 2 million, and we did not pay that only because the claim was received late. So we only managed to do that in the current financial year with the express hope that National Treasury will roll over the funds. So those are the transfers in Program 2. Okay, Program 4 is a specific project. It was the audit of the nursing colleges, because we are auditing all the nursing colleges to in line with the presidential mandate to audit all nursing colleges with the intention of opening them. So the project could not be implemented because we had to re-advertise the tender. In Program 5, that's where we also have transfers, specifically the major one being for hospital revitalization. There was an under-expenditure of 323.9 million for hospital revitalization, and that one was deliberately withheld from the provinces, as the chairperson has already said, and specifically for Western Cape and Mpumalanga. There are issues related to this. So I'll come to the slide which deals with revitalization. And the rest of the remaining unspent amounts for Program 5 was for District Health Information System projects. I won't dwell too much on these slides. It's just for information. Safe to say that, as we said, 91% of our budget is for transfers and is for conditional grants. These were the transfer for HIV/AIDS, which were all transferred to the provinces, and that's how they performed. The one that underperformed, which was Gauteng, they will request the rollover from the provincial treasury. And I won't repeat this. Then for the forensic pathology services, we withheld funds for Northern Cape province. And that was based on agreements between us and the province because they were not performing well in terms of the expenditure. And they had problems with the tender awarding. So it was a mutual understanding between the two parties that we should withhold the funds and they will get the rollover from National. And then Western Cape and Free State, they received their transfers and they will request their rollovers from their provinces. The next grant is the health professional training and development. All the transfers were made to the provinces, and those that underspent will get their own rollovers from their provinces, which is Eastern Cape, Limpopo, Mpumalanga, and Northern Cape. And most of them are saying that they don't have dedicated staff, like they don't have appointed personnel to manage this grant. That is part of the reason why they are underperforming. Now, the hospital revitalization grant, which I mentioned earlier also, we only withheld funds for two provinces, which was Mpumalanga and Western Cape. The rest of them we transferred, most of them overspent, which means they spent their money from the equitable share. So to deal with the revitalization specifically, in Eastern Cape cited also tender processes as the delay. Free State, cash flow problems. I don't know if the chair was aware that Free State was in the media a lot in the last financial year. So that is the result of that. They could not spend whatever conditional grant money they had because of their cash flow problems. Chairperson asked specifically on Mpumalanga. They also are fighting lack of capacity to manage the grant. That's the main issue. That also results in the contract being terminated for some hospitals like MLO, due to poor performance by the contractor, and that was budgeted for the 17 million. And then what we withheld from Mpumalanga was 153 million. And they have said to us that they have the capacity to spend the rollover during the current financial year. Although I know that with our discussions with Treasury, Treasury has put a condition to that if they don't indicate in their current year expenditure as up to second quarter, we would need to see their capacity by second quarter of the current financial year, whether they really have the capacity to can spend the rollover. If not, they might not get that rollover. We can only hope, Treasury, that it doesn't mean that they will lose the money, that when they have the capacity, the money will be given to them. With all of these rollovers, Northern Cape, they also had a cash flow problem. And then they had the delays in the starting of the construction of Upington and the Kimberley Mental Hospitals. With the Western Cape, the issues to George Falkenberg and Fredenberg Hospitals, they say that it's a historic problem from underfunding from the previous financial year, 06-07 and 07-08, and then also the delays in the project at Khayelitsha. So the tender at Kayelita was only awarded 2 months later. So it had a rippling effect on the expenditure or the utilization of the cash flow they had. So we had an agreement with them that we will withhold their funds and they can only get them during the current financial year, provided they meet all their planned phases in terms of those projects. At PAL hospitals also, they had a problem with the decanting process. It was more complex than anticipated. Mitchell's Plain Hospital projects, they were over-projected. And then the province, Western Cape, has requested for their own rollover for the transferred funds. Okay, National Tertiary Services is the last conditional grant. I won't dwell too much on it. There are details indicating why the provinces underperformed in this particular conditional grant. So that's where we would like to stop, Chairperson.
So, Chair, in fact, as you can see, the issue here is more in relation to capital projects, both the forensic pathology one and as well as the hospital revitalization. And our role as national is to ensure that those provinces can spend. One way of dealing with it is to transfer all the money so that we don't have any record of under expenditure, and it's recorded there for their own rollovers. Or we keep it where we can. And what has happened now is that we, due to continuing comments or matters of emphasis from the Auditor General on this matter of conditional grants, we have actually chosen the route of withholding this fund in spite of our reluctance to do so because they belong to the province in a way. So that's largely where the underpinning comes from in our budget. No, thank you, Chair.
You know, before my colleague comes in, I would have requested you just to clarify more about the Free State, you know, as to where are we now. I know that it was the previous financial year. I didn't get very clear as to what is it that exactly happened, because all, though I did hear the CFO saying they had a cash flow problem. We understand, but I'm not sure exactly how do they feature here and how was whether that was addressed now.
Well, Chair, part of the problem with them, part of the problem with the cash flow issues in the Free State is that you then have a kind of blanket approach to how the financial management is undertaken, mm-hmm. such that the relationship between Treasury and the relevant department means that the relevant department has to ask for Treasury to approve certain resources, including the resources that are earmarked for projects, because they say you don't have the money to spend in your budget. We're now controlling your budget. We'll tell you when to spend, how to spend, etc. So that's how it impacts on a whole range of projects that are actually taking place there. And currently, in some instances, we are already anticipating that the Free State will have a problem in terms of under expenditure in many areas because of that relationship that is actually where they'll have to ask for permission to spend or to pay these invoices and et cetera, et cetera. And that process takes a bit of time for approvals to actually take place. So how it affects this is that then there's an under expenditure because then they don't pay immediately against or within the period that they're supposed to pay against the invoices that they've got. And therefore what then happens is that the pace of the project also begins to go slower because then even the constructors know they're not going to be paid. There are cash flow problems, and therefore they they work on a cash management basis, you know, which is a difficulty. So that's how it affects this whole process. Currently, there are two things that we're investigating. One is indeed that there might be problems in terms of under expenditure generally in various areas because of the slowness of the process. But we are also anticipating that if we do not bridge the gap now, we will be in the same situation as we were last year by end of the next month, end of September, particularly in relation to some of the key pharmaceuticals, ARVs, as well as other major chronic disease medicines. So because we anticipated that, we've been working with the National Treasury and other partners. In fact, just yesterday, we had a meeting with the, or day before yesterday, we had a meeting with PEPFAR to talk to them about how they can supplement the amount of money we have for ARVs in order to meet the challenges. And we've reached some agreement in principle with them that they'll do so. So we hope we'll be able to carry the ride this time around. But in terms of processes of cash flow management and how they are managing the resources, we do suspect that we'll have similar problems this year too.
But I thought that you would say that not just only intervening on the, what you call on the cash side, but on the management side. I'm not sure if maybe the situation is not such that they need Section 100. Maybe it has not yet raised that situation, but obviously the publicity was very negative. I don't think that we would like to find ourselves in that situation where we were, and then I can imagine that now, if we could find ourselves in that situation, the publicity would be worse, because people would say, look, last year we were in the same situation, and people have not really woken up to reality.
Chair, I think there are two issues related to that. One is that the province itself has more or less instituted some kind of a centralized management, in that the department is more or less, particularly from a financial point of view, is managed from treasury now. Yeah. So that's happening. But the premier has made some overtures to say they wouldn't mind getting that management taken over by National, which would not be a good thing for us, but if it was necessary, we would do that. But at the moment, they haven't actually moved to that kind of discussion and request. I think they have taken a view that they are applying their own internal Section 100, I think it's Section 20-something, Section 75. So it's that we're hoping is actually helping.
Correct.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thanks, DG. I'm going to ask about the nursing colleges, because it has been a standing issue, I think, since it was announced in the State of the Nation in 2006, and then it's delayed and delayed. What actually delays it? Because if it's tenders, then really there's some weakness somewhat. And hospital revitalization, is this, do you, did you think this is the right approach? Because the intentions were very good. We thought within years we'll just see hospitals well equipped, well staffed, and no
medicines and all with those hospital managers and all, at least CEOs, yeah. But it takes a long time. And somehow they exclude mental hospitals. It's just that we see about this cream value ones. But it seems, I wonder how long they've been in the program. Now my question is, after observing the slow or the lack, not necessarily lack of progress, but the way it stalls, this program is stalling, is there an alternative for something that can be done an alternate revitalization program or whatever you call it that can address these real issues that affect the real life? This is a priority. Health is a priority. Got prioritized with education. But there's a lot of progress going on, but watching from outside, this it seems hospital revitalization has taken a long time to pick up. It might be my impression. And this issue, I asked about Cubans. I'm still going to ask. We learned that there was this agreement between foreign doctors and the department on when being paid when they come here. That's the information from the department, from the National Treasury. What was actually, I don't know whether it's continued, budgeted for these people, and if it's a program, what is so much in it that you have to enter into an agreement? And I'm looking at the money that could have been utilized for basic services like buying medicines and paying our nurses or getting cleaners at some of the clinics. What is that does so much? What led to that agreement?
Well, thank you very much, Chairperson.
Oh. Before you come in, with respect to Western Cape, to the report here says the Khayelitsha project was delayed, tender only awarded 2 months later. Does it mean now that they are ready to roll now? Does it mean that so they will be able to spend? And with Mpumalanga, you know, the earlier you mentioned that you had an issue with public works. I mean, you would remember from the provincial report to the Select Committee, the issue of public works has been a problem. Here, I'm not sure if you know as to who is really what you call it, the culprit here. Is it the department? Because when you look at the report, it's clearly issues of planning that are robbing these people of Mpumalanga and Western Cape of these facilities. Now, I'm not sure if you have been able to do that, but because I would like us as this committee, if clearly, though the issues of province are now, fall under the NCOP, but we would like to find a way of for instance, understanding that why is it that public works should continue, for instance, to take a function that they know that they don't have the capacity to deal with. But it's not very clear, but we'd like to talk to our colleagues at the NSOP so that we can find a way of dealing with public works, both national and the provincial department, so that we clarify this. We know that already some provinces are making use of the
not Kahito, but Trust, what is this, the other trust? IDT. They're making use of IDT. And clearly there are problems. And well, this question is not really yours, but again, I think that the relationship between public works and is a relation that we need to understand, you know. Thank you.
No, thank you very much, Chair. If I start with the issue of the delays in the audit of nursing colleges, well, first, don't remember, you will recall that the 2006 statement talked about reopening of colleges. And by last year, that had already been done. But it was clear that part of the problem was that the issue of what happened to those colleges was not properly addressed for us to be able to then say, when we say reopen colleges, what exactly do we mean? Because in some instances, what had happened was that colleges were amalgamated into one big college as a result of the integration, for example, from the racially divided colleges. So there is a college, a single college with five campuses or four campuses. Now, in that case, when we say reopen the colleges, what do we mean? Are we meaning that we must reopen the five as separate colleges or reamalgamate them? That's the first thing. So where there were standalone colleges that had been closed and could be reopened, that was done. The next issue then became that the concept of reopening colleges, which is now what is being understood in the next phase, let's put it that way, the current phase of reopening of colleges, is that we need to do an audit of our nursing needs in the country per province and match it with the infrastructure that is there and then decide how many colleges each of these provinces requires and then come out therefore with a kind of strategy or let's say a plan for building the number of colleges that are there, that are required to meet the demand. So this audit is in fact supposed to audit the current infrastructure that is there, including the requirements of new infrastructure in the provinces, so that we are able to then say the country needs so many colleges, new colleges, four in this province, two in that province, etc., and they have to be built. That's the next phase of the reopening of colleges, because it would be easy for us to say we have fulfilled the mandate of the 2006 issue because we have reopened all colleges that needed to be reopened. But then we have not responded to the real reason why we were talking about the reopening of colleges, which was to actually say let's talk about whether the country is meeting the training needs for nursing. So our approach to that matter now is twofold. One is the delinking of the college sector from the university sector so that there's a sector even in the NQF recognized separately, because all these colleges currently are linked in terms of the NQF to universities and therefore it's become university training. So reopening of colleges would require first of all that issue of unblocking or unbundling the colleges from the university sector. And that means working with education and reviewing the NQF, et cetera, et cetera. Secondly, it therefore says when that has happened, what is the number of colleges that we need in the country in order to meet the nursing requirements? Now, this audit project was meant to do that. But the delay comes from when we were discussing this with the CFO, she was a bit reluctant to get into a bit of detail. But what happened was that at the point at which the tender was being adjudicated, we actually discovered the potential conflict of interest. issue in relation to that. And therefore, because of that, we re-advertised the tender and clarified the issues of conflict of interest. So it was, in a way, an attempt at preventing a situation that would have been problematic had the tender been awarded. But it actually fits in with the next phase of the project rather than the first one, where we're just opening colleges that we needed to open, those that could be opened. Others have been occupied by other departments. They were given to other institutions, et cetera, et cetera. So that's the context. The hospital revitalization program, it's an interesting dynamic, Chairperson. When the program started, there was a very slow expenditure, very, very slow. And then, of course, the National Treasury argued, you see, there's a problem of expenditure here, therefore that's why we're not giving you money. Fast track this and the money will come. So we pulled all the stops to begin to ensure that there was a faster expenditure. And of course the expenditure improved drastically, but the money wasn't forthcoming. Because now the more you had these projects, the more it became difficult for the fiscal to fund them as such. And therefore the conversations began about how to fund the hospital revitalization program, starting even the year before last, and in that MTF process, and then last year. Now, recently the president announced that we shall fast-track the hospital revitalization program using PPPs. And so as a result of that announcement now, we are in the process this financial year of exploring with National Treasury that model of PPPs and whether it can actually work to fast-track the delivery of these hospitals. So that's in the process as a result of the State of the Nation address. In fact, there is a task team between us and Treasury looking at how we can do that, whether we should start with some pilots and see what. But you see, the problem with PPPs is just to actually arrive at a final pen on paper signature would take about 2 or 3 years just to do that, because it's a long process, you know. The other problem, of course, is that you see, whereas the private sector that is coming to offer its services on the basis of a PPP will get all sorts of conveyancers and all sorts of financial advisors, you don't have the same capacity to this side. So what happens is that in the previous experiences, the state has actually lost. And it's paying more than it should be paying because we didn't have the kind of capacity to look at those contracts. So for us to be sure that we're actually entering a better field, we need to build that capacity or to have that capacity available. Might actually be very expensive to do it, but that's what is being explored at the moment with the National Treasury. So that may fast track, we don't know, but that's another option. But I think on the projects that are there already, the problems that the chairperson was referring to, I think, are the main culprit here. One, and I don't want to blame largely Public Works. I would also say that the client departments are to blame themselves. But it is largely an issue of contracting and contracting bad contractors, et cetera, which means that somebody is actually not supervising that work. The minister, the current Minister of Health, has insisted, based on his experience in Limpopo, that we should ensure that within every health department we have the capacity, the engineering capacity, to actually drive this process so that those people know exactly what they are looking for in the contracting processes and so on. But that's That's a debate that has been ongoing. I've been since I've been in these situations. He's more or less declared that, and the provinces have agreed. So I don't know what fights are going to be there between provincial public works and so on. But in Limpopo, he actually just put his own engineer, and in his view, that was fast tracking. It worked, and it fast tracked the quality, so on. So he said it can be done. on the question of foreign doctors. Look, South Africa does not have the numbers of doctors that we need. They are largely, well, let me put it differently. We do have the numbers of doctors that we need, but they're in the private sector. And for the public sector, we will need a different arrangement for us to have access to those human resources, and hence the national health insurance processes may begin to address those kind of things. But while that is happening, we have a situation where provinces are running at 60% vacancies for just doctors as such. And so in that context, you find that a whole range of things then start happening in the health system. You have interns that are not being supervised. You have community service doctors that are new, that find themselves in situations where they have to work under very serious pressure without supervision. You have clinics that have no access to any doctor, et cetera, et cetera. So what's the best way to deal with that? Like all other countries, you have to then rely on countries that have surplus doctors. But the best way to do that is not to have an open-ended approach to recruitment, but to have bilateral agreements with those countries. So you go to, for example, Tunisia and say, in our bilateral relationship, let's reach an agreement where we can recruit the doctors from your side under the following conditions. And of course, then the conditions will be spelled out. They will say, look, we say we'll pay our salaries, not different salaries from our own local doctors. We will, you know, we pay them the salaries, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Of course, because they are foreign doctors, we have to provide some accommodation from them and all those things. So that's an agreement we have with various countries where we recruit doctors. We do not really come up with special salaries for them. We may have special aspects such as, for example, accommodation and two trips back home, because they are actually assisting this country. You see, and then we say, you'll be here for the number of years, and if we still need you, we can renew it and so on, while we deal with the issues of production here.
DG, when we were in, during our taking parliament to the people in the Transkei, we went to a hospital where they said some doctors, I think it was from Nigeria or what, used their hospital to move, just to move to other areas, more sophisticated areas. How do you handle that issue? Because they come here being assigned to the Eastern Cape or any other remote area, and they just stay there for a few months and say, my car can't move on this road. This is a lonely place. My children can't attend school here, even if they are not married. So how do you handle that issue? Thank you, sir.
Well, look, in terms of the agreements that we have, we will post the doctors where we need them. And if they don't adhere to that agreement, they're sent back to their own countries. The difference is, When those doctors come as individuals recruited by recruited agencies, whoever they are, and then they are employed wherever, then they start doing those kinds of things. But those that are on a contract by agreement will be posted exactly where they're supposed to be posted or sent at home. But you must remember that in terms of our own laws, our own constitution, we have been challenged, for example, in relation to the Cuban program. when the Cuban doctors that started getting married here ended up saying, look, you cannot tell us to go back home, or you must make us residents here. Whereas the agreement is very clear that they must go back home. They won that case, by the way, in the court of law. So now Cuba is very, very careful in relation to that. But with Cuba, it's a very unique relationship, you know. So even in the context of the previous question, it's a unique relationship. It's both a kind of solidarity relationship with Cuba. We don't simply recruit because we need. We also recruit because there's solidarity with the Cubans. Interestingly enough, to give you an example, it's a diplomatic thing. You can write it anyway. Fidel offered scholarships to our students. And his argument was, you can come and train in Cuba, we won't charge you a cent. And he insists, if money is the problem, no, Cuba is not interested in your money. We just want your students to come and train in Cuba. But of course, we have a different approach to that matter. So with Cuba, it's a different kind of relationship. It could actually be a much more solidarity-driven relationship then. But all the others, the agreements are very clear about what the doctors are going to do and what are the terms of their contract. Western Cape, is it rolling now? Well, let's say it is rolling now, but whether it will roll faster to overtake the 2 months, I'm not sure. So it might actually be a perpetual until the end of the project, yeah. So that's the issue. I think with Mpumalanga and Public Works, I've responded to the, in broad terms to say, well, in Mpumalanga, there's a problem in the department itself. I think there are issues of capacity, et cetera, et cetera. So there are problems within the department. But there are also problems in Public Works.
I think some of the problems, I don't know, I think in those provinces where they have combined, they have been challenged. One, I'll take my brother's family. One side suffering, because they have lost something. Well, thank you very much, CC, for taking this on. Now, I mean, the expenditure as far as